Hi, I'm Megan.
And we're saying hello
from Montreal.
And there's a little pre-recorded message from my daughters there. They're in bed, but they wanted to make sure that I said hi to the global community of South Cars tonight. Welcome. This is South Cars TNT. Thursday night thematic open forum for Thursday, September 17th, 2009. And at control for this evening is me, Pete, Victor Echo 2, X-Ray Papa Lima, and I'm located in beautiful Montreal. I have to think of that for a sec. Montreal, Canada, of course, where the temperature is presently 16 degrees Celsius, about 61 Fahrenheit. And they say it's under clear skies, but it's dark now, so I guess I'll just have to take their word for it. Let's see, we're a group of dynamic radio amateur enthusiasts who invite you to gather with us every Thursday night right here on the SCARS server, made available by the Western Michigan privately owned repeater network. Here a different topic will be presented every week of interest to everyone, hopefully. Discussion period will follow, question and answer period, which will be moderated by myself. Tonight's topic is SCARS, the server. And our invited special guest is our very own Mike, KB8ZGL. You guys know Mike very well. So we promise to entertain, we promise to inform, and we promise to have fun. At this time, I would like to ask if there's any emergency traffic or anyone needing to contact the station and move off the server for their QSO. All right, that's good. No emergencies are good. I'd like to remind everyone that we are recording this podcast. No, not this podcast. We're recording this session for future podcasts. My apologies. And the official disclaimer, of course, the opinions expressed are those of the presenters and do not necessarily represent those of South Cars. So with that being said, let us begin. Our very own Mike, KB8ZGL, will be talking on SCARS, the server. Mike was first licensed as a number code tech in 1996, currently a code pass general as of 2006. He did his undergraduate degree in telecommunications and general business management, and also has a master's in IT management from Michigan State. He's the former president of the Michigan State University Amateur Radio Club, W8SH, W8MSU. He's Echo IRLP Integrated Conference Manager for the following servers, Michigan, who is with us tonight. I'd like to say hello to everyone on Michigan. This will be relevant to you guys as well, for the SCARS Conference and for the Alaskan Conference as well. He's a member of the ARRL, AMSAT, ARES, RACES, MIAPRS Working Group, the MIAPRS Working Group, sorry, and many local clubs. My God, where does he get the time, I wonder? And he will be presenting tonight. So any questions will be addressed to Mike at the end, of course. And we will proceed right now. So Mike, KB8ZGL, come on aboard.
Well, good evening, Pete, to you and everybody on South Car. So this is KB8ZGL, and tonight I'm transmitting to you from my home station located in Greenville, Michigan, in western Michigan. And I want to take a moment and say thank you very much to South Cars and Pete, to you and Gordon for your invite to give a presentation on this topic tonight. I think you will see as we move through it that this is truly my pride and joy. This is what I enjoy spending my time working on. I work hard in the background almost daily in some aspect on this conference server in order that it can be enjoyed by all of South Cars members and a wonderful experience for everyone that utilizes it. We will be, just for a technical note, taking a break every 2.5 minutes roughly. I have a timer set on my Echo Link so that we can drop all stations momentarily for about a 3-second pause to allow for identifications and for transmitters to cycle. So tonight's agenda, as Pete stated, is going to be South Cars, the conference server, or the server, and primarily a technical overview, a lot more of the in-depth information on the conference server. We're going to do an introduction. What is it? A little bit of a description of how it's made up and what it's made up of, as well as a history, kind of where it evolved from and how has South Cars become connected with it. software. What does it run? And on what hardware? We're going to talk briefly about the hardware, and during that section, the internet connections involved and some of the different redundancies and things we have in place, as well as a brief period on policies and channel sysops and security. We're also going to spend a few moments on a program known as the Conference Killer, which some of you may know about and some of you may not. We're going to go over that a little bit. And we're going to talk a lot about probably the future, where things are headed. We're constantly trying to update and make things better for everyone. And then a wonderful spirited question and answer period within the group. So we'll let it recycle here one more time, and then we'll go ahead and get started. KBAZGO. Well, thank you, everybody, for being here tonight. It's nice to see we have a large group, both on EchoLink, IRLP. We're also linked into DSTAR tonight. And fantastic showing. Welcome aboard, everybody, and to the SouthCar server from me personally. And so with that, we'll begin. A little intro to SouthCars and what it is. A lot of people know it simply as a conference server. What we like to refer to it as is actually an integrated conference server. And what this means primarily is that the SouthCar service can be accessed from multiple voice over IP technologies, whether that be EchoLink, IRLP, occasionally DSTAR and Asterisk. As we work forward into the future, some of those other technologies will become more prevalent. And as many of you know, EchoLink has a SCARS conference, which is node number 96140, and also an IRLP reflector channel, 9614. And with that leading in, SCARS is actually part of a larger system that we refer to as the Great Lakes Reflector System on IRLP. The Great Lakes Reflector System is actually made up of 10 channels on IRLP. That's 10 channels, 9610 through 9619. SCARS utilizes channel 4, and that's where you get the 9614 designation on IRLP and the 96140 vanity node number on EchoLink. There's actually 10 channels, and they are broken up as channels 10 and 11 are general IRLP reg 2 channels. They run an ADPCM codec. Channel 9612 is the South Florida Skywarn channel, primarily used during hurricane events and is not an integrated conference. Channel 9613 is the Kentucky IRLP reflector and is primarily used by repeaters linking in the state of Kentucky. 9614 is where we are tonight, our beloved SouthCar server. 9615 is the North American broadcasters, primarily used by large radio broadcasters for weather events. Additionally, we have channel 9617, which we'll talk about a little bit later, but that's the Michigan, primarily the Michigan channel. That's also an integrated conference and links to EchoLink 96170. I think I skipped over channel 9616, which is the home of the West Michigan Privately Owned Repeater Network, which is a group of West Michigan amateurs. That's also on EchoLink 96160. And we have Alaska on channel 9618, and 9619 is reserved for a future integrated conference. Integrated channels on the reflector are currently forced to GSM codec, which allows IRLP and EchoLink to coexist without the need for transcoding. By default, IRLP uses an ADPCM codec, and EchoLink uses a GSM codec. However, in the case of the integrated conferences, we do set that forced currently to GSM in order for them to coexist. With that information on the overall description of the reflector system and the Great Lakes reflector system, I want to get into a little bit of the history of how SouthCars came to be on the Great Lakes Reflector System, how it came to be on channel 9614, and how it came to my involvement, KBAZGL, and how I how we've done things over the probably coming up on a year and a half, 2 years now. So Gordon would have to give us the exact dates on that. But a little history on where it all started for me. Michigan is the first conference I ever started on EchoLink, with a desire to learn how to create EchoLink conferences. It wasn't long after that I started that conference that I heard a presentation by Tony, VK3JED, who's been kind enough to join us tonight, and he did a presentation on Echolink and IRLP and the combination of the two technologies, it wasn't long after that I said, this is what I need to learn. And the desire to integrate Michigan into an integrated conference was formed for me. And in my time of doing that, I was checking into a lot of nets and noticing there was a lot of Echolinks and IRLP-only nets, but there was not a lot of large integrated nets. There were a couple, Tony primarily running a couple. And so my desire began early to host integrated nets for both technologies for groups of people who utilize the different services that I could provide and that we could provide through the Great Lakes Conference. And just for a little information, today we actually host 8 to 10 nets a week on the Great Lakes Reflector. And those are not all just United States-based. Like SCARS, there's other services that are international in nature. And as we went through the channel list, you heard we're also representing now on the Great Lakes Reflector multiple states. From there, it really took off, and my desire to learn both voice over IP technologies, IRLP, Echolink, and their integration and keep the radio RF access available to the reflector led to the technical challenge to myself to learn what Tony had done and how it was done, and with that was born IRLP Reflector 9610. The integration was completed shortly thereafter with the help of several different people. And we began to start with a few nets on the Michigan Conference. Initially, the first net was the Michigan UP net, followed by some Aries Racy's nets, as well as shortly thereafter the South Cars net. Many of you remember the days of connecting to 9617 on IRLP or the Michigan Conference. And that is where we were originally introduced, where Gordon and I originally ran into each other, and after some emails, we started heavily on Michigan. But as more and more nets grew on Michigan, and as SCARS began to grow and grow in size to become one of the largest voice over IP nets that I am aware of, it became very clear to me that South Cars needed another server. And it also became clear to Gordon and other members of the South Cars administrative teams that we needed to start looking at some simulcasting conferences or some other options. And with that, we birthed SCARS. And we also helped the Great Lakes Reflector set a history mark not too long ago by becoming the proudly claimed first IRLP reflector to host multiple integrated IRLP Echolink channels. We were hosting the Michigan, Alaska, South Cars and the West Michigan privately owned repeater network channels, all as integrated channels. There was no question there was some bumps along the way, but today that experimentation and growth is leading to new and better integrated systems that we will talk about in the future section of this presentation. KBAZGL will read everything recycle a moment. So to spend just a moment on the software technologies that are involved, as some of you are on using different technologies tonight, and often that's the case in an integrated conference, a lot of you are here tonight using Echolink, which was created by Jonathan Taylor, K1RFD, and many of you are with us via IRLP, created by Dave Cameron, V7LTD, and we are using a conference software called TBD, or sometimes more recently in a new variation called TLB, which actually stands for the bridge or the link box. If you hear us refer to bridge or the bridge software or link box, what we're talking about is the conference software that makes these integrations all possible. On top of that, those three pieces of software, it took a brilliant person to integrate it all initially for the first time and compose all the scripts and handle all the security headaches in order to create Echo IRLP and the integration of the two together. And my hat's off to Tony, who's with us tonight, VK3JD, who did the majority of the heavy lifting in order to make this all possible. And if you talk to Tony, you will understand he loves this stuff as much as anybody, and he's never ending with his goal to make it better. So those are some of the softwares involved. One of the biggest questions I get when people get a moment to single me out, whether that be on SCARS or Michigan or on my own IRLP node, one of the biggest questions I always get is, well, what hardware does it take to run this thing? Is this a massive computer system in some location in Nowheresville, United States, and what is it? That's the number one question I get, and so I wanted to lay that out a little bit for everybody tonight. But first off, a hint of notice, there are some changes coming. We have some already in the works to upgrade the hardware, as well as move to a new version of the software, and there will be some beta testing coming, all with the goal of making things a better user experience. So the hardware is actually an HP server running RAID level 5. It's currently running Linux of the flavor Fedora Core 4 and has a 1 gigabit Ethernet card. The plan server, while probably a little bit overkill, is actually a Dell quad-core server along with a network storage system. It's using VMware for virtual appliances and testing. And we're going to upgrade from Fedora Core to a current Linux distribution, and we're going to run CentOS 5. Also in this new server, we have added the ability for redundant load-balanced gigabit Ethernet cards. This is currently one thing the current server is lacking in that it has 1 gigabit card and 100 megabit card. We'll be having 2 gigabit cards.
KC0SLR with a question, please.
Yeah, Victor Echo 2 X-ray Papa Lima. Sorry to cut in, Mike. We're keeping all the questions till the end, if that's okay with you, sir. Over.
If you want to put them in the text box, I will attempt. If you want to put them in the text box, I'll attempt to answer them. Otherwise, if you'd please hold the questions until the end. KBAZGL.
Okay. It's KC0SLR. Portable's clear.
Oh, thank you. If you guys want to put questions in the box, feel free to do so, and I will attempt to grab them as we go. But otherwise, I'd like to save them all for the end for everyone. There's other people here that may be better at answering them than I am. So moving right along, one of the other major questions I get after, well, what hardware is it? And it's basically a Linux server, is, how does it get to me? What kind of Internet connection does this use? And one thing to note is, unlike your home stations for IRLP or Echolink, a conference server needs quite a bit of bandwidth for growth, especially with all the integrated channels that we're running on the Great Lakes Reflector and here with SCARS, which I noticed has pumped out just this month so far a whopping 40 gigabytes of data, which is quite a bit actually, and has gotten as high as using a full T1 of audio on its own for a Saturday morning net. So congratulations to you guys on that. You're pumping some good bandwidth by all being here. But with that, as you can see, with a meg and a half minimum requirements for one channel, it would not work well on a simple DSL line for more than a couple people. The South Cars and the Great Lakes Reflector can support thousands of unique amateurs on each channel without concern. We're hosted in a state-of-the-art fiber distribution point for Western Michigan, actually in my hometown, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Byron Center, Michigan, those two areas is where I grew up, and it's located about 5 minutes from my home, just for a piece of trivia for everybody, KBAZGL. So a lot of people want to know about the Internet feed. While we're in a hosted state-of-the-art fiber point, we're actually serving the rack that the server is located in with redundant gigabit fiber links. They both feed 1 gigabit of Internet bandwidth each to a 1 gigabit fiber switch. Why this is so important primarily for all of you to know is that it cuts down on latency when we're under heavy load. To almost anywhere in the United States, our latency is about 40 milliseconds from the South Cars conference server. We have direct jumps and ties to Chicago and Indianapolis before leaving our own network, and we have redundant Internet connections through multiple Tier 1 and Tier 2 providers with multiple BGP peering points. There's a little bit of technical information for those interested. We also have dual ingress and egress into the fiber, coming into the building, which means we actually come in two sides of the building and take two different fiber routes in and out of the building in order to protect from cable dig-ups and other issues. And we're in full emergency power. We have battery backup for 1 hour, and we have a diesel generator with auto start that will run 7 days without fuel. After the end of a week, it does need fuel. And we have full-time video surveillance with only 25 people worldwide that are able to access the racks where this server is located. We're going to move right along here. I see I'm pushing the time a little bit, and probably about another 10 minutes to go for everybody that wanted to know. We want to move a little bit on to some of the policies, channels, channel rules, security, and things of that nature. There's three policies that I like to address when we talk about the conference server in general or talk about the reflectors and the channels. The primary policy that we want to talk about for a moment is the no beeps and no boops clause, as I like to call it. And that is relevant in all voice over IP amateur radio systems. It is bad practice to allow CWIDs, audio announcements, courtesy tones, hang times, and hang tails, et cetera, to go out through the system. This goes out onto all systems, and by all means, if you need help eliminating these from your system, please contact any of the administration staff. We will gladly assist you. The second thing, number two after the beeps and the boops, we ask that you turn off all your text announcements for EchoLink members. For those of you that are on EchoLink, we do not like as little as possible automated text messages in the text box. We prefer to have that for chat, for if somebody needs to communicate emergency to a net admin or different things. We prefer to keep that not flooded with general text connection messages and other information. So please turn those off when you come into an integrated conference that's on SCARS or the Great Lakes Reflector System. And number three is the reminder to try hard to leave a three-second pause after each transmission. And the primary reason for this is to allow emergency traffic to jump in if needed, and also to allow all systems to drop and fully recycle. And this prevents timeouts to repeater ports and other systems throughout the group. I want to talk a minute about how do we administer each of the channels, because it'd be a big project for just me to handle. And I'd prefer not to always be the bad guy, if you will. But with that being said, I think Gordon KY6V put it best in an email to me when he said, the goal of SysOps are there to keep an orderly and enjoyable place for everyone to use and only step in if something requires action out of the ordinary. That's a direct quote from Gordon, and I don't think I could say it any better myself, is that SysOps and admins are not there to cause harm. Our goal is to keep everything enjoyable. We want this to be a friendly environment and want all of you to enjoy stopping back. On each of the channels, whether that be an integrated conference or just an IRLP channel, there's at least one SysOp admin from the group that utilizes that channel. Now, most channels have multiple SysOps, such as in the example of SouthCARS, where you have multiple net control operators and multiple SysOps and admins in the background. And those SysOps are then watched over by a dedicated team from the West Michigan privately owned repeater network. We have a group of admins that oversees those. That's a lot of times where I come in. But however, we do not have all the time, like I said, to monitor each and every channel. So we delegate to the individual groups. With that being said, I want to make one clear note, and then that is that SysOps that are given the right to be a SysOp on one channel or one conference may not necessarily have the rights, and in fact do not have the rights, to be a SysOp or an admin on another channel without the invite of that group. In other words, if you're given permission on the Michigan conference by me to be a SysOp, please understand that that does not give you the permissions to go and do things to the SouthCARS server unless they have also authorized you to be a SysOp. That's only been brought up because of one past thing, and we'll move on from there. So, and additionally, everything is logged. We keep an IP log. We keep a log of everyone that connects, every error. Everything is logged, and that log is stored to backups 24/7, 365 days a year, and is indeed reviewed by the admins. We do, in fact, even have a web page to review it, KBA ZGL. Another thing that we've done on the Great Lakes Reflector and the South Car server specifically is we have designed SysOp web pages that facilitate easy control of the back-end functions. And a lot of you ask, well, what are the back-end functions of the SysOps? There's three primary functions that SysOps can do. Number one is mute stations. Number two is they can temporarily kick stations out of the conference and channel. And number three, they can ban stations. And all of these can have a persistent option, meaning that it's ongoing from the moment it happens until it's removed by a SysOp. So overall, there's not too many policies in place, three rules to remember. If you abide by those, everybody will be happy. And we promise not to yell and bark. We just like to keep everything as clean as possible. And one other thing we really want to get into a moment while we're talking about policies is the conference killer, what's become known as the conference killer. And some of you have probably experienced this when you've had your Echolink client set up in a conference-enable mode and you've connected to the South Cars or the Michigan conference and been disconnected and advised via the text box that you are not allowed and not authorized to conference within the conference. And a lot of people have a lot of questions. There's a lot of misnomers about this as well as a lot of misunderstanding. So let me explain, if I can, a minute, why it's in place and why it's in effect. What the conference killer does is prevents Echolink conference stations from connecting to the conferences. The reason is this is, one, to keep loops from happening. An example of a loop would be a station connected to South Cars. When Michigan is connected to South Cars, and that station then connects to Michigan, and you get a big loop between the three conferences. This becomes hard to administer. Additionally, it is very difficult for the SysOp or the admins on the individual channels to control what's happening on another conference. And so if they have a problem on that second conference, they do not want to have to kick you individually out of Echolink because of somebody else that is on your conference. They also do not want to have to mute different conferences. It's a lot easier if everything is connected directly to the primary conference. Additionally, there is the chance of hardware failure in the event that data bits, which are actually what this VoIP is being converted to, the voice over IP technology to actually become data bits, and if there was a severe enough loop, it could actually potentially wreck an Ethernet card or different Ethernet switches, different things. There's a lot of protections in place for that, but again, one of the reasons loops are so important to keep out of the system. It is important to note that we do not utilize all of the capabilities of the conference controller on the South Car server, as some other servers you may connect to do. We do not force you to connect to the IRLP side of the conference if you are IRLP capable. Some conferences do this, and at this time we do not. However, it is recommended if you are IRLP capable that you connect to the IRLP portion of the South Car's conference. And I see we're sitting almost here. We got a couple minute late start, so I'm going to go through just a couple of things to come and what to look forward to. This is where I'm doing the most experimentation right now, where we're having the most cutting-edge fun. Some of the things we're working on is the integration of Echolink and IRLP with DSTAR. While there's some programs and some ways to do that, we want to make it so that we actually have assigned DSTAR reflector channels to integrated conference channels. What's a little bit hard about that is while there's 10 IRLP channels, on a DSTAR reflector there's only 3 channels available, and they're labeled A, B, and C. So we are working, for example, with DSTAR reflector 004 to connect up channel A on a full-time basis to the South Car server. This is something that's in the works, and you can look forward to it in the future. Additionally, we're looking at a way to make the text box available to the IRLP users via a web interface, whether that be via a computer, a mini laptop, a netbook, or a phone. We'd like to make the text option available to IRLP users. There also is an updated set of SysOp backend commands coming. For the South Car SysOps that are with us tonight, you can look forward to a slight learning curve coming up. We're going to add a few things, make it a little more efficient in its functions and how it works, and add some more abilities that allow muting of all nodes or IRLP and different nodes directly from the web interface that we've built. We're going to move to CentOS 5, as I mentioned earlier, which allows us better virtualization techniques and is a current Linux platform. We're considering the introduction, if possible, if we fill our first 10 IRLP channels, of a secondary reflector. That's a ways off yet. And one of the biggest things we want to add is the ability to do audio streaming 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, in order to stream to web pages. This also is in the works and is coming not too far down the road. KBAZG Alpha ID. So that's a little bit of the things to come and things to look forward to. In closing, I just want to say a special thanks to Jonathan, to Dave, and to Skip. Without those guys, we wouldn't have the software to do what we do today. I also want to especially take my hat off and say thank you to Tony. I know he gets sick of me saying it, but like people thank me for providing this over and over, I want to thank Tony for everything he's done. He's taught me a lot. He's given me the ability to put a lot of this together. We've hacked on some scripts and different things together, and he's the guy that continues to advance this technology. I want to make a plug for next week, Thursday, that he will be doing a net the 24th at the same time, and that will be primarily on IRLP. So we put the cart a little ahead of the horse tonight, but everyone should stop back if you want to hear a real expert on the specifics of IRLP and codecs and transcoding. Thanks to you, Pete, and to Gordon, V2XPL and KY6V, for hosting this. I think this is a great asset to everybody and look forward to being involved more in the future. For anybody that has questions that doesn't want to bring them up next in the question and answer period to the group, feel free to email me. My email is KB8ZGL, that's Kilo Bravo 8 Zulu Golf Lima, at KB8ZGL.net. So my call sign at mycallsign.net. And as a last note in closing, if anyone's listening who owns a registered or controls a registered Echolink conference that is interested in integrating it in the aforementioned portion of the presentation and is looking to do what South Cars is doing, or if you have a group that's looking to do what South Cars is doing, please contact me right away. We have all kinds of opportunities. We have some channels open now, but we do have two or three requests in the pipeline now. We're always looking for more opportunities. And with that, I appreciate everybody listening there. Didn't do too bad on time, Pete. I think we did all right. Hopefully everybody enjoyed the information. I think we'll have a lively question and answer period, as I know I breezed through some of the technical stuff. So thanks, everyone. Thanks for having me on South Cars tonight, and thanks for spending a portion of your evening with us. Back to you, Pete. I'm going to grab a quick drink, but I will be here for question and answers. V2XPL from KB8ZGL.
Cool, cool. Most excellent. Thanks for that. There's my crowd with some applause for you. Very, very informative. Most complete. I was jotting down questions as you were talking, and then 10 seconds later, I was scratching out the question because you were answering it. Very, very complete. A nice mix of technical and general and procedural information as well. So, and yes, Tony, that is a canned crowd. I crack open the can every Thursday just for you guys. We're an international net today. We have several countries represented, a couple of Aussies, Tony the troublemaker down there, and we have, I've seen as many as 42 stations connected and listening to us tonight. That's just Echolink, and that's not counting everyone who's listening on the various links and repeaters, so thanks to everyone for being there. I'm sure you guys are enjoying this. So with that, we'll open the floor for questions. I've actually got already a lineup of people who would like to ask questions. We have John, VK3FELA, who was the first in line there. So, John, come aboard with your question. Over to you.
Okay, VK2XPL, VK3FELA. Good morning to the group, and thanks, Mike, for a very informative talk on the procedures and protocol of South Cars. Very informative indeed. You made mention about digital D-Star that you're going to in the process, as I understood, of hooking up some type of D-Star connection to South Cars. My question is to anyone that can answer it. As my license conditions, and probably Tony would know what I'm talking about here, I'm not permitted to access digital modes at this stage under the foundation license. How would I stand legally with access if you've got D-Star capabilities hooked up to Southcast? Would I be in breach of any regulations at all? So I don't know who can answer that, but if anyone could tell me on that. I've come across this problem here in Australia where we had a 2 metre and 70 centimetre and 6 metre link up. Now, I'm not permitted under my licence conditions to access 6 metres, but the gateway was there. Although I wasn't coming in on 6 metres, it still was going out on 6 metres, and some people felt that I was in breach of the regulations. So I just wanted to clarify that if anyone could. So, having said that, thanks very much again there, Mike. Very informative. Back to you there, Pete. So if anyone can answer that for me. VE2XPL and the group, PK3FLA.
Yeah, roger that. For smoothness of operation, if you guys, if the presenters are okay with it, I'll call the next in line for questions. You can ask your question, direct it to who you want, and that person, either Mike or Tony, if he feels comfortable, can just pick it up. You don't have to pass it back to me. And that way we'll get a few more questions in there because I think there's going to be quite a few. Tony said he would like to field this one. VK3JED, come on aboard. Welcome, sir.
Yeah, fine there, Pete. And good question, John. And you're probably not going to like this answer, but the answer is it depends. It depends on a couple of things. One is how are you going into the network? If you're going in on Echolink, you're actually not subject to local RF regulations. So I don't see how you can be breaching anything if you're going on an Echolink. But there's also another side of the coin where it becomes a problem is if an Australian node is connected to that particular D-Star reflector, and if your audio comes out that D-Star node, then that node owner is in breach of their license. So yes, it gets a bit complicated. As for coming out overseas, that's very, very grey, but the best word I've heard is that local authorities aren't too worried about, overseas countries deal with their own issues. It's a problem if either A, problem if you're being heard on an Australian D-Star system. That's the main scenario that's a problem there, John. It all depends on what nodes are connected. The only recommendation I can make is for the Australian D-Star community to avoid that particular channel, to avoid being in breach of their licence through a roundabout loop. Probably not the best answer, but I hope that helps. But also, I'm not a lawyer, so it's a best educated guess based on experience. VK3FLA, VK3JED.
Okay, Tony, thanks for that, mate. Yeah, I was thinking when you said that, what about if I came in on IRLP, say on 9614, I wouldn't be aware that, an Australian D-Star reflector or whatever is hooked up to it. So this is, I know with, what was the guy, I can't remember, Steve, he works for one of the crowds over here, something like that. Steve, he's got his own reflector nodes on Macedon. Now, when I first got my F call, I fired up on that. 99% of people were fine with it, but that 1% of people were not, And I went back through ACMA, and they weren't too sure on it, and they said if the SysOp blokes are happy with it, then that's fine, and some people would jump up and down, et cetera, et cetera. Although you're coming through, as you said, on Echolink or IRLP, which is within my conditions of my license, where it goes thereafter, I have no control over. But they're basically saying ignorance is no excuse. But if I'm calling up, say, on mobile, decide to call up the South Coast via IRLP, and it happens to be hooked up to, you know, say, even 6 metres for that, you know, for that matter, I'd be in breach of the regulations. So, yeah, I think it's, I don't know how to get around it, whether they put a tone on it or something that you access, and I don't know. Anyway, thanks for giving us a bit of insight into it there, Tony, and thank you again. I don't know, back to you, Pete, I guess. BE2XPL and the group, BK3FLA. Thank you.
Yeah, just a final comment before it goes back to Pete. Yeah, if you're winning on RF, of course that means that you're a bit more liable. Under the regulations, technically. I actually did put in a submission to have that regulation changed somewhat, because I believe it's pretty much unenforceable with today's technology, but we're stuck with it. They didn't change it. We're stuck with it. It's annoying, but we've got to do our best to live with it. Basically, what I've tried to advise all node owners that I know is never set up a system on 6 metres or 23 centimetres for this very reason. It's in Australia, overseas, of course. You've already got that. You already come out on 23 centimetres or 6 metres overseas, and it's not a problem. So D-Star coming out in D-Star overseas won't be a problem. It's only when you come out in VK. So, I'm pretty sure Richard, VK3 JFK, is heavily involved in D-Star, is of similar mind, D-Star nodes should avoid places where these sort of breaches can occur. We'll just have to recommend that local nodes, local D-Star gateways, unfortunately, avoid that channel. It's the best we can do with our regulations. It's a mess, but we're sort of stuck with it. Anyway, back to you, Pete, so you can bring on the next one, VE2XBL and the group VK3JED.
All right, wonderful. Thanks for the explanation, Tony. That was a good question, John. Good question indeed. I never would have thought of that. That whole runaround, same thing as if you connect to Equilink and end up on HF and you're not licensed for HF in your particular country. I guess the same kind of questions could be raised there. So wonderful. John, as you all know, is one of our net controllers and a regular to South Cars. So thanks for your question. The next question, I got you, KD8LOY, but we got somebody in between. We had KD4OVI, Pete, who was wondering if video was going to be included in this upgrades, and Mike informed us via text box that no video yet at this point. The focus was on audio. I don't know if you'd like to elaborate a little bit on that. Mike, over to you.
Well, thanks, Pete, on that one. KBAZGL for ID for legal reasons. The biggest thing about video integration, not only is there not really any software yet on this side, with everything that I work on and that is on these systems, I like to be able to use via a radio and from my vehicle or from a handheld. And while video offers some unique possibilities, they're just not that friendly in the RF environment and how you get the video along with the audio. There's other options. There's other ways to do that. I think, in my opinion, I think I'd be more interested in the kind of maybe the background of the question. But at this point, there's no plans for any video integration, just because we're trying to stick to audio and perfect the audio and always make the audio better. And so that's the short of it, is that there's no video at this point. But there's more experimentation going on in this realm than I can even explain all in one night. So if you wanted to, feel free to contact me, or if you had some ideas, there's probably somebody doing something with it. But as far as I know, not anybody here right now. Hope that answers your question. I don't know if you're on only text, but if you want to go ahead with more, go ahead, OV. Let's see. I'm looking for your call real quick here in the text. KD4OVI, did that answer your question? KBAZGL.
And this is KD4OSCAR. You got Mike. I was just thinking about it, not just in 1 year, or maybe down three, 4 years from now, as the technology explodes, there might be a plausible reason to put it in. And I would just put it from node to node. And that goes to over RF, because that's a band, that's a lot of bandwidth right there. And I don't think the equipment, you have to extremely you have to add another transmitter, which is transmit the video along with the audio. But I mean, just from node to node. But that's my main thrust. Node to node video. Within four plan of 2 to 3 years. Over.
Well, I understand where you're coming from, Pete. And I think Tony's right. He sent a text in the text box. That's probably a separate project. I imagine it could be done now if you utilize the webcam. And the software, just the audio codecs are so different from the video codecs in some senses that to intermingle the two could really get ugly fast. We have enough codecs kind of to deal with in the audio world. There's about five or six over on the IRLP side, there's one or two on the Echolink side that it'll probably, you won't see the video integrated into these programs, but Tony's putting some information on ATV over IP in the text box, and that's probably where I would see the technology going from the video side. So thanks for the question, though, Pete. It's an interesting idea, and I see some implications. I just don't think you'll see it in the softwares that we're using here. Go ahead and I'll pass it back to Pete so he can pick up the next one, V2XPL, KBAZGL.
Perfect. Thank you, Mike, and thank you, Tony, for that text box support there. Always appreciated. And thank you, Pete, OVI, for that question. That's where I was going with it, too, Echolink to Echolink. Would it be possible? And I guess anything is possible if you throw enough money at it and enough people with enough programming skills. So maybe in time, as bandwidth gets cheaper, maybe we'll see that coming down the pipe. Who knows? The next person in line for questions would be KD8LOY, Rancher Duane. Come on aboard with your question, sir. You're up next. Did I get that right? KD8LOY. Do you have a question, sir? Come on aboard to South Cars.
This is KD8LOY, and yes, I do have a question. I actually, I see on magazines like for Yaesu's radios and Kenwood's and ICOM's radios, I see the D-Star option, and I've never quite understood what the D-Star actually does for function and for what it does with operation. And also to help with, I think it was Pete, the one that asking for video. I have a friend, get ready for this, Pete, KB2HZE. It's a link, and it says the Worldwide DX Link. They actually do video and audio. If you want to talk to them, it's 9 o'clock where I'm at. Here in Michigan, and if you get a chance to, about 11 o'clock he'll be on, per se, and you'll be able to talk to him. Hopefully he's on tonight, I'm not sure, but I think I'll have to see if Pete can answer my question for the D-Star. Hang on, let me go to that website here. Over to you, Pete. This is KD8LOY.
All right, sounds good. KD8LOY, VE2XPL for ID. There I go, being derelict in my duties of identifying every 10 minutes. Again, I have to get used to that. And I apologize to the FCC, of course, our friends. We'll let the gentleman go visit his website there, and we'll see if he can find his answers. And if you have a question, then jump on back in. That's not a problem at all. Let's see. Does anybody else want to jump in there for questions? I will now call for check-ins for questions. Come on aboard. Let's see a pilot.
This is Kilo Golf 6, November X-ray, X-ray John in California, Echo Link number Echo 0866, and as far as function for D-Star and all that, D-Star for ICOM and Wireless 2 for DASU is a more of a radio side to repeater version like of IRLP EchoLink, but it is connected into a hub on the internet, so if someone wants to punch into the internet, they can see, you know, like a location on a computer screen and stuff like that. So that's pretty much what that's about. Over, KT6NXX.
Hey, I'll jump here. BK3J8A.
Roger that, Tony. Go right ahead.
Okay, Pete. Just to clarify things, they're actually quite different. John, Wires 2, it's been around since about 2002. I used to run a node for a while, except the PC died, and I sort of looking for a lower powered replacement to get that system back on the air. Wires 2 is, in a lot of ways, quite similar to IRLP. It's radio to radio. The radio side is analog, just like IRLP and EchoLink radios. It's hooked up to analog radios, and it carries voice over IP. Wires is quite similar to IRLP. There's a lot of differences, but similar in concept. D-Star, on the other hand, is totally different. D-Star, the first difference is it's digital end-to-end, so from inside your radio while you're on D-Star to inside the other person's radio, it's a digital path all the way. And D-Star has two modes. It has a high-speed data mode of around 128 kilobits a second, and it has a the more common voice mode, or DV mode, which is a digital voice mode, and the digital voice also has simultaneous low-speed data, so you can be merrily talking away and simultaneously beaconing GPS position reports, for instance, whenever you've got the button down to talk. There's a whole host of other differences, but that's sort of where they stem from, how they operate. It's quite different too underneath the hood, and the presentation that Mike pointed out goes into a bit more detail. Anyway, I hope that clarifies things. Back to you, Pete. VE2XDL, VK3JED.
Excellent. Sounds good. Thanks for the answer. Thanks for the question. We're doing really good. We're coming up on 9:26 and 40 seconds Eastern Daylight Time. It's getting close to the 90-minute mark. I just want to make sure that our presenters there, Mike and Tony, have a little bit of time if they want to stick around. If not, we'll be able to wrap it up. So how are you guys doing on time? Over. All right. Well, we got a yeah, got time, and don't have to work tomorrow. Bring it on. Wow, that's awesome. I wish I didn't have to work tomorrow, but hey, I do, and that's okay. Let's see. I have KD4OVI who wants to recheck for another question. Come on aboard. And if you guys want to type in the questions, that's fine too. I will take them in the text box as well. Pete, come on aboard with your question, please.
And this is Katie Fuasco, Victoria, Florida here. Right now it's nice and sunny and warm. Too warm now, but anyway. The question is, I was under the impression that Echolink, you can facilitate a video channel. I don't know whether I'm coming off the highway at a high rate of speed, or I'm slowing down to comprehend that. But would somebody please, who has knowledge of that, confirm that for me? That's Katie for Oscar Virginia, back to net control. Speech General Mothership.
Hey, Mike, sure I got it. I have heard of an add-on for Echolink that does do video. I suspect if you Google it, you might find it, but it only works in the PC. It's not designed to go across RF at all. So if you're a PC user on Echolink and you've got a webcam, from what I understand, if you install this add-on, you can actually send pictures as well. But I haven't looked into it because I'm not a big fan of... I'm not a huge fan of the PC mode. It's just a tool for me. Like I am now, if I can throw RF around and do it that way, I prefer to do it. So as a result, I haven't really looked into such add-ons that tie into the PC. I hope that helps there, Pete.
This is Katie for Oscar Victor. Yeah, very well. At least it reaffirms my position on them. Back to Pete up there in Canada. Katie for Oscar Victor.
Just lost another one. So, Pete, thanks for the question. If you look in the text box there, Mike has put in a URL website that might have some information of interest to you. And Mike and whoever else wishes to go surfing, that information is there for you in the text box there. So feel free to peruse that at your convenience. All right, let's throw it out for some more questions. Any other questions for Mike or Tony, who's our guest question answerer tonight? The floor is yours, gentlemen. Come on aboard to South Cars with your questions, comments, or concerns.
In 9 Zulabi, November 9, Zulu, India, Victor.
Excellent. Dwayne in Illinois, another regular. Come on aboard with your question, sir.
Yes, sir. I was wondering the legality. I asked permission. I recorded this. Should I have not done that? I was in another conversation on another radio, and I wanted to hear this net, so I just recorded it and had the volume turned down a little bit and talked on the other radio. So I wondered the legality of that and if I should delete it, or what's your thoughts on that? November 9, Zulu, India, Victor.
Well, strictly, I didn't, I'm going to get yelled at here by Mike, I didn't leave 3 seconds in between the transmission. Strictly from our standpoint, we are already recording this session. I am recording it, and Paul N4FTD also is recording it for a future podcast. KY6V says he's charging you $100 per minute for the recording, but I certainly don't have a problem with it, but you guys probably don't have to bother recording them because we record them for you in case you can't be there, and they'll be up on the website shortly, or there'll at least be a link on the website to the podcast. From a personal standpoint, we can't really control what you guys do in your own homes. So if you wish to record it for yourself, it's certainly not a problem. Where it becomes problematic is if you're selling these things on CD or broadcasting them for money. That would be more of a problem. But then again, we can't control what you do in your home environment unless we catch you. So that's all I have to say about that. Mike, KB8ZGL said that he could, he certainly didn't have a problem with you recording it for your own personal use, and most likely Tony's of the same opinion. I hope that answers your question. I don't know if Mike or Tony want to add anything to that, or perhaps Gordon, KY6V, our net manager, our VOIP manager, sorry. I don't know if you guys have any comments on that. Over.
I thought maybe Mike would jump in. Let me see if I've got it, Pete. Good evening, Dwayne. Gordon here at KY6V. No problem at all, sir. There's a lot of people that are doing that for their own files and their own enjoyment to look into the broadcast at a later date. I think Pete pretty well covered it for you. We are taking these recordings that we are doing from the South Car standpoint, and we'll be publishing that on our website. So that's available to you in that respect also, Dwayne. Over.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. And that's www.southcars.com. Or is it .net? I can't remember.
Just put a VOIP in front of that. We have two websites, Dwayne, one for HF and one for VOIP. The one you will be interested in is VOIP.southcars.com. The site is not set up for the podcast yet, but probably will be within the next day or so. Pete, back to you, sir. Nice net. KY6V, over.
Let me sign your A9s. Did I be clear?
Thank you very much, Dwayne. Thanks for the question. Gordon, thanks for that clarification. Always happy to have you on board. And a 73 is to you. We haven't heard you guys. We haven't heard you yet, so I'm glad that you stepped in there. All right, somebody is being dazzled with somebody else's brilliance in the text box. I have a very quick question, and if you're not allowed to answer this question, Mike, feel free to say I'm not at liberty to discuss this. But I'm just wondering, you were discussing about all the hardware that runs this integrated conference server. I'm just curious as to who owns the box, who owns the hardware, and where is it physically located? Is it in somebody's bedroom? Is it, you know, at the local pub? Is it at your place of business? I was just curious about that, if you're allowed to share that information. Over.
No, that's a fine question, Pete. KVAZGL. That's right, Tony. I wish I had two fiber ports at gigabit speeds in my bedroom, too, but... Nope, it's not in my bedroom. Just to keep everybody happy, I own all of the hardware. It's all self-funded through my day job. And I put the money into it to do the upgrades and thoroughly for the enjoyment of experimentation and being able to offer these services to the fine groups that are on us, on our Great Lakes Reflector, you know, South Cars, Alaska, and Michigan. And I couldn't think of anything more fun to do with my money that I make during the day. So the hardware's all owned. That is indeed my place of daily, one of my locations that I work on a daily basis. I'm a network administrator for a day job. I also do some stuff for an internet, do stuff with a wireless internet provider, a large hosting company, and several large business clients across the United States. And so that is indeed our location, our place of work. But there's also several other tenants in there, and I have a lifetime agreement for the server and at least 100 megabit feed for lifetime guarantees. So I had to work some favors for that, and I worked many hours beyond 40 often to make it happen. But it's all for the fun of stuff like this, and wouldn't do it if it wasn't fun. Most of the IRLP reflectors you'll find are at guys' works, and that they put their time into in the integrated conferences as well. So there you go. And if you want to know, there is a succession plan even for it. Within my group here in West Michigan, there's a succession plan. Who would take it over, who would the hardware would transfer to, who would get rights to access it. That's all handled with my work with EPS security systems. It's all handled with in a will and beyond service provided. So legally and financially, at least at this time, we are in good shape on the South Car server. KVA-ZGL, back to you. Spider.
Excellent. Wow. I had no idea. Well, we have you to thank for us all being together. Yes, everybody. Mike is responsible for all the friends that you have on South Cars. He is directly responsible for everybody that you talk to on the server every day. So thanks for that. And thanks for answering the question. I very much appreciate it. That's really cool. We had, if I could scroll up into the text box, I had another question from KD8LOY about D-Star. Hopefully it relates to D-Star and the SCARS server, which is what we're talking about tonight. If your question is specifically about D-Star, we'll be having a presentation later on in the open forums. But if you can relate it to the server, come on aboard.
KD8LOR here. With this server and D-Star, from what I understand from the presentation that the website that you gave me, D-Star is kind of like a digital repeater, which is interesting to me, and it can operate on 2 meters, 440 meter, and like 10 meter and 6 meter, if I'm correct. And also it did say it had some satellite capabilities. Does that mean also that they're using satellites as a repeater as well? And with this network, are you using D-Star as repeater systems through the SCARS conference?
All right. I don't know if Mike or Tony want to take it. We'll see if Mike has an answer for you there. Come on aboard, Mike.
Well, very good. That's a good question, Nathan. A lot of good questions. KBAZGL. I agree, Tony. I was just going to put it, I'll start, and then you can pick it up. Nathan, just a quick start. The big difference is our D-Star is all, like Tony said, digital to digital primarily. Within the radio and to the repeater, it is all packets of data. There's no analog audio to speak of. The only analog audio is going into the microphone, and then it's converted into data bits. And what we're attempting to do, let me see, staying within your question, I'll try to go in the order you asked it. They do have some 10 gigabit links that they use for D-Star. I don't know of hardly anywhere in the world that there might be one or two implemented, if that. Most everybody takes and connects their D-Star repeaters into the internet via a gateway box, which is a computer that, much like an IRLP computer or an Echolink computer that feed to VoIP, those are at the D-Star locations. They take that digital data and then they pass it around the internet to other digital D-Star repeaters within the D-Star network. What we're attempting to do within regards to the South Cars conference, and this is in the future, this is all in beta testing, we've got some of it working, we don't have all of it working, there's security issues, there's a whole host of things, much like when Tony first initiated the connections between Echolink and IRLP. We have those today with trying to bring D-Star into the analog world because you don't want a whole lot of bad analog audio on an all-digital environment. So what we're attempting to do is take and convert that digital audio via a USB converter, basically referred to as a DV dongle, and convert it from digital into analog, and then pipe it out onto the analog Echolink and IRLP conference servers. So in the case of SCARS, if we were on a D-Star conference, it would be tied into here. It would be doing an analog to digital and digital to analog conversion in the middle. Stand by 1 second so I don't time out here. And so, Nathan, what we're trying to do is make it, because the audio sounds great, even there's a little loss in the digital compressed and when you recompress, but we are working on some uncompressed technologies that allow us uncompressed codecs and some transcoding on the fly, some stuff Tony's going to probably talk about more next week if you join us. And so we're trying to take that D-Star digital and make it analog, put it here on the reflector, so that it can come out, and so we can primarily use it in emergency services. A lot of this is an all amateur radio, is a goal of being ready for emergency services. And one of Tony and I's goals is to take all these different VoIP technologies, and if we had a huge disaster or emergency, that we could tie everything and anything that we needed together to do our jobs, as both of us are emergency-based volunteers as well, and do things with weather and with Skywarn, with Ares, Races, CERT, and different groups. So hopefully that answers some of your questions. If you want more specific questions to D-Star, or you want to play with a demonstration, after we make sure there's no more questions here that are related to the conference server or South Cars and IRLP and Echolink, we'll gladly field more direct questions on D-Star too. Tony, what do you got to add, buddy? I think that's about all I had on it. VK3JD, go ahead, pick it up. KBAZGL.
Yeah, okay, Mike, yeah, I would have thought it'd be a transcoding process rather than going back to analog, but maybe you got the problem of suitable software, which I know is an issue, but long story, won't go into it. Yeah, it was the comment about satellites. I think Nathan's getting a bit confused there. The reference to satellites was using AO27 as a bent pipe repeater, basically doing the same thing that everyone does every day on FM on the birds, but it's actually doing less than a D-star repeater on the ground does, because a D-star repeater actually does interpret some of the headers and make some decisions. Particularly if it's talking to a gateway, it makes a lot of decisions about routing and where the data stream will go. But, the satellite was just a totally different, an aside issue, where D-Star itself doesn't make use of satellites any more than IRLP or EchoLink does. I.e., there may be someone trying to get one going on a satellite link, but that'd be about as far as it goes. Anyway, I think that pretty much covers it. Yeah, I mean, we can talk about D-Star later, because it is a whole different ball game. It's all new, fresh, and the paint's still wet. Anyway, I think back to VE2XBL, VK3JD.
Thank you, Tony, VK3JD, and thank you, Mike, KB8ZGL. Indeed, this is Victor Echo 2 X-ray Papa Lima, Pete in Montreal for ID. Excellent, gentlemen. Let's move it right along. Do we have any other question? Who wants to jump in? Somebody's got to have a question at their fingertips, at the tip of their tongue. Come on aboard with your question. This is South Cars TNT.
KG6NXX, as far as the utilization of satellite for EchoLink, wouldn't that because the satellite moves of such a great speed, we'll only be able to be on that for just a very brief moment of time, amount of time, over. KG6NXX.
Yeah, I'll grab this one. Make sure I got it. Yeah, you're getting a bit confused there, John. When we say we're using satellites for IRLP or EchoLink, there's a couple of people in remote areas have managed to get one or the other up and running on a satellite internet connection. And we're not talking about using amateur satellites to carry IRLP or EchoLink, although I had in the past had some plans to experiment, yes, in that case, it would only be available while the ground station was in the footprint, but I never actually got around to doing it, because I don't have the radios suitable for Doppler correction, I don't have the, or tracking antennas, and I don't have the funds to put those sort of things in, but it was a passing thought. But yeah, the reference to satellites and EchoLink was more about the internet side, and a couple of people have got it working, and I do believe there's an IRLP node in Antarctica that, at least when it first came up, it used to use a satellite, a dedicated satellite circuit that the base used for its internet and its connection to the outside world. So yeah, that's pretty much it for satellite.
Oh, okay, you meant more of a commercial internet linking. Okay, I'll just take myself out back and shoot myself for that one. Hi.
Yeah, thanks a lot for your question there, John. No worries. This is how we learn. It's like Mike says, all questions are good questions, and this is a vast pastime that we're involved in. I think a lot of us like playing radio because, you never stop learning. There's always someone who knows more than you, and there's probably someone who knows a bit less. So you help along those who need the help, and you get help from those who know more, and that's how we progress, and that's how we learn, and that's how we move forward. And so, yeah, come on, ask any question you want. Don't be shy. Don't be shy. Yeah, break out the Elmer's hats. There you go. Well, you guys are Elmer's tonight, Mike and Tony, and we're very fortunate to have both of you along for the ride. So let's move it right along. Let's see if anybody else has any questions or comments. Come on aboard to South Cars TNT.
KB9EWP.
VK3FELA.
Excellent, excellent. They keep on coming. Coming out of the woodworks, Kilo Bravo 9, Echo Whiskey Papa, I believe. Come aboard with your question and stand by John, VK3FELA.
Thank you very much, and nice program. I have a question regarding routers. Earlier today, came across I'm running a Simplex node, and we have an opportunity to place my node up in a hilltop on the repeater. But the person that's supplying the broadband, his router is not able to forward more than 20 entries. He's maxed out, and told him that the only way that I could run IRLP through his broadband connection would be to open up ports for IRLP. I guess my question is, does anyone know of a router that will enable more than 20 port forward entries? Hopefully that was clear. Back to net control.
Yeah, excellent question. I think, let's see, I think Mike wanted to field this one. KB8ZGL, come on aboard.
Well, it's my day job, so I thought I'd take a stab at it here. KB8ZGL, that's an excellent question and can be a problem that you run into with port forwarding on routers, no question about it. There's a few options that we typically use or that I've utilized. The first question would be to ask him if he's using a DMZ host at all, a demilitarized host, or if he has that option. Maybe he doesn't necessarily need to use the router in the method that he's using it to forward all those ports. He may be able to use a DMZ for one of the machines and free up some ports. The second option is a lot of times in that situation we'll put a switch in front of the router, and if we switch in front of the router, then you can tie a second Ethernet connection in. That's all depending on if you can get a second IP address from the provider. But that is the smoothest way, is if you can get two IP addresses from the provider, you can use a switch, and he can do whatever he wants on his IP, and you can have a second IP to do whatever you like. Most people, at least in the United States, that's usually a $3 to $5 a month add-on. For all of the different residential broadband options. If it's a commercial broadband connection, it's likely free within the service if you just ask for it. Third option, you asked about other routers. Any of the higher-end Cisco routers will definitely do it. You're probably dealing with a low-end residential-grade Linksys or Netgear or D-Link or something of that nature. If you use any of the Linksys business class routers, if you look up Linksys Business, which is a division of Cisco, all of those will do more than 20 ports. Any of the Cisco gear itself will, and that can be found on eBay relatively reasonably. As well as somebody did mention here in the text box, well, Tony, why don't you, I'm going to time out, why don't you tell them about DDWRT, KBA-ZGL.
Yeah, Mike's given a good start. There's a few options. The so-called DMZ mode, as Mike said, is one, or getting a second IP and running a switch, and then before the link. So Mike's sort of given a good start. Now we mentioned DDWRT. A lot of the consumer grade Linksys routers and quite a number of third party routers happen to be able to be flashed with new firmware, and one of the options is called DDWRT that's compatible with a lot of routers. I'm running it here. In fact, this node that I'm talking on is behind a router running DDWRT, and that can basically forward as many ports as you like. I think I've got about 2 or 3 dozen ports forwarded, you know, for the IRLP, Echo Link, and various other things forwarded. And DDWRT can forward port ranges, not just single port, so it's easier to set up the rules. You only need a couple of entries for, say, IRLP, one for the TCP port and one for the UDP range, and you're done. It can be downloaded from dd-wrt.com. I'm using a Belkin router. My Belkin, I picked it up cheap at a ham fest, and it turned out to be, purely by fluke, turned out to be DDWRT compatible, so I reflashed it and found it, it's a lot more functional, and now it does what I need. So, yeah, there's various options out there. Yeah, pretty much unlimited ports, as K4KWQ said. I once had 10,000 ports. No, that was a Linux box, but DDWRT would do it too. 10,000 ports forwarded for wires too. Anyway, I hope that answers your question. So I'll put it back to you. Let's see. I'll put it back to Pete. He knows who. VK3JD.
Yeah, excellent. Thanks, Tony. Thanks for that. That was Kilo Bravo 9 Echo Whiskey Papa Miguel in Oakland, California. So does that answer your question, Miguel? And do you have a follow-up question? Over.
That pretty much answers my question. I see I have a few options. Very good. So I'll forward this information to the person that's in charge of the router at the Hilltop, and hopefully we could upgrade his existing router, which is a Netgear, right? He's using a Netgear WGR614, and which is, I guess, limited. So we'll look into more of a commercial business type router to be able to get us up there with RLP also on the repeater. Thank you very much. Back to Net Control. This is KB9EWP.
This is EGL.
Yeah, go ahead, Mike. Go ahead.
I know that router pretty well. I've used it quite a few times. And there are some different ways to handle it on that router than straight port forwarding. You can do some workarounds if you want. If you want to contact me via email or another time after, or even after this later tonight, there's ways to do workarounds. You can do... instead of straight port forwarding, you can do some port triggering. There's also some other options in there for different ways you can do it with port forwarding to the private IPs. And also make sure he's got the latest firmware on there, because that was a known issue on a lot of the Netgear routers prior to a fairly new firmware. He may just blow a new firmware into it, the latest from Netgear, or from for the WGR614. Depending on what version it is, you may find that frees up your ports. It gives you more little slots there to put them in. So, but feel free, KBAZGL at KBAZGL.net. And if he has questions, and if he's an amateur or not an amateur, either way, that's my day job too, so I can gladly assist if you want to have a phone discussion or anything. There's ways to get you there. Back to you, Pete. VE2XPL, KBAZGL.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much, gentlemen. Another one shot down. Thanks for that answer to both of you. I'll go right on down to John, VK3FELA, with the next question. Come on aboard, John.
The 2XPL and the VK3FELA. Thanks, Pete. Just a trivial question, really. I notice many times that people get a bit upset when they're not familiar with the system. When they connect to South Cars, they look on the listing on the right-hand column on the Echo Link, and they say, well, I'm about 7 down, say, for example, and yet they might be, 20 down, and they get a bit confused with, the way it comes up in the order that it comes into the system. The easiest way would be to go into the users list and find out exactly where you're located. But I was just wondering, just as a matter of while we're talking on this topic, on the server, is there anything in the pipeworks, any software, anything that may make it a bit easier for people that are uninitiated in the procedure of the connecting to South Cars and are queued up and they look up and they say, oh look, I'm number such and such, and hey, how come I missed a turn, you know? So if there's any way of making it more simplistic for people to utilise the listing rather than going into the users net, just have it there up in front of you. Okay, back to you, Pete. VE2XPL and very informative group. VK3FLA, over.
Okay, I'll grab that as we arranged in the text box. VK3JD for ID. John, you got to sort of realise there's two different mechanisms in play here. What you see in Echolink is part of the station list. Like you'll see, there's 34 stations connected, but as I speak, I can only count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Now that list is ordered through a combination of the last connected and the last station to speak are ordered at the top. So the last connect, the last event, whether it's either a connect event or a PTT event, puts that station at the top. You might have just connected and done nothing and you're seven down the list, but the guy that's, and you might think you're, there's a whole heap of guys, you might have sunk to the bottom and there's a whole heap of guys above you, but they might have been talking away, so their entry sort of been pushed to the top by talking. The only way to be sure is to go to the link. Dot users, I believe, is a sysop level command. I'll just check since I'm... dot users is at least a sysop level command. The only way to check the order for certain is to go to the page that's advertised on vipnet.southcars.com. I'll just grab that URL. It's advertised at the start of every South Cars net. vipnet.southcars.com/users. So that's the only way to get your true perspective in the order is to visit this URL, and then you'll see exactly where you are in the pecking order. It's the only way an average user can get at it, because list that you see in the Echolink client is modified by PTT event, so that puts it out of order. Hope that answers your question there, John.
Yeah, QSL there, Tony. Yeah, I was just as an observation. I'm aware of the user list and that, but I've noticed from time to time people are unaware of what the procedure are. Come on, they're saying, "On, I should have been next." And they get a bit irate or a bit upset about it, they think that they missed their turn. And I thought if it was a more, simplistic way of putting things up, that they'd be able to know exactly where they are in the pecking order, so to speak. But no, you've handled it beautifully, Tony. Once again, thank you very much. And back to you there, Pete. Doing a great job, mate. PE2XPL in the group, PK3FPLA.
Another one bites the dust, the beep of goodbyes. Thanks, John. Thanks for the question. Thanks for Tony for fielding that. We're going on 94 minutes, 50 seconds. So we're going to make a last call for questions. And if our guests wish to stick around after and answer questions in a non-official way, that'll be fine. And if they wish to be dismissed, then that'll be fine too. So we'll make a final call for questions. This is South Cars TNT. Come on aboard. Okay, well, with that, nothing being heard. If our guests wish to stick around after, they're more than welcome to do so. We'll have a more unofficial rag chew. Let's see, this has been the South Cars at TNT, the Thursday night thematic open forum with our special guest presenter, Mike KB8ZGL, and Tony, who was helping out with questions, VK3JED. So we thank you extremely for being here. That was awesome. South Cars TNT is a directed public service open forum whose aim is to share the collective knowledge with any and all who have an insatiable curiosity for all things, and we certainly did that tonight. Let's see, your net control has been Pete, Victor Echo 2 X-ray Papa Lima. I'm in Montreal. I have no idea what the temperature is right now, but I can bet it's a lot colder than the 16 degrees it was when I first started. Again, a special thanks to Tony and Mike for being here. Thank you to everyone for being on board. I think it's been informative, and I think everybody really enjoyed the comments. A few quick announcements. I'll just recycle. Let's see, we need your input. You guys, this show's for you. This open forum, send us your suggestions for topics of discussion on this forum. Any and all topics of interest will certainly be considered for discussion. Also, if you have a skill or a topic of interest that you'd like to share with us, we invite you to be a guest host. Just drop us a line, VOIP@southcars.com. And it doesn't necessarily have to be, I said it last week, it can be ham-related, it can be technology-related, it could be computer-related, it could be photography-related, it could relate to baking or your garden if people want to hear about that. It's an open forum, we just want to have a theme. It doesn't have to be any specific theme, so send us your ideas and we'll consider them. With that, I don't know if I'll invite Mike and then Tony to say some parting words, and then we'll shut her down. Come on aboard, Mike, and give us your closing thoughts.
Well, great. Thanks, Pete. Thanks, everybody. It was a lot of fun, and I look forward to talking with each of you and all of you in the future and on the South Cars Net and other channels on the Great Lakes Reflector. You're welcome anywhere, anytime. And thanks for making what we do in the background fun. Without everyone's participation and bringing a reason to do all this technology, Tony and I would just be doing it for ourselves. And it's a lot more fun when people utilize the things we're playing with and working on, and that motivates us and drives us to new ideas and new goals and brings us to where we are. And I always believe in Elmarine within the hobby. I've had lots of great mentors in my years in the hobby, and I like enjoying speaking on voice over IP technologies and bringing more people into it, and especially as we move into younger and younger generations, that a lot of people in my have come through the voice over IP hobby side of the hobby and have translated into excellent HF ops and CW operators and the whole gambit. So thanks to everybody. It's been a lot of fun. I have no commitments tonight, and I'm sure Tony and I have plenty to rag to about as he's going into his weekend, so feel free to hit us up with anything when he's done. We'll be here. We always have a lively chat session no matter what, so if you just want to listen along, feel free. I promise we'll keep it clean and try not to get too technical, but no promises on that. 7-3s, I hope everybody has a rest of their week or weekend, depending where you are in the world. KB8ZGL. Go ahead, Tony. VK3JD, KB8ZGL.
Yeah, okay, Mike. And OVI, you're still not saying which list. Without being specific, I can't be sure of answering the question correctly. You're just not specifying which. You're saying the list, the list, but what's the? Yes, I can be like that, but I've learned over many years that if you're not specific, people go off on different tangents and everyone gets confused. Anyway, thanks for that, Mike. It was good fun. And like you, I like to see what can be done, what can be put together. And sometimes it's a bit like climbing a mountain. Yeah, they say, why do people climb mountains? I'm sure Pete can identify this. you know, with that, talking about hiking before the net. But, of course, the answer is because they're there. And, yeah, why do we do these things? Because we can and because they're a lot of fun. And, yeah, I got into VOIP many years ago. It was, like Mike, for me, it was a natural progression. And, yeah, it was bound to happen as soon as I... as soon as I got wind of an opportunity to play with the technology on the radio. And yeah, to AVI, yeah, we can. We'll stick around for a little bit. But yeah, definitely, I'm also big on the Elmering, as Mike knows. I don't like to give out the answer. I like to give out enough hints so that whoever's got the problem can... work out the answer with a little bit of extra information so that next time they'll know what to do. Mike's certainly done that quite well. He's taken up the hints and he's really had the conference server rocking along. But next week, although I'm down to talk about IRLP, one of the things I will cover next week is the evolution of the conference servers. Some new technology that I'm playing with. Mike's seen it, but I'm just beta testing at the moment. Anyway, back to you, Pete. VU2XBL on the group VK3JED.
All right, gentlemen. Well, once again, thanks to you, both of you, for being here. And if you want to stick around and rag chew, more than welcome to do so. Of course, we can't tell Mike to leave because it's his server. He can tell us to leave, though, so we better be careful. You guys better be nice. We can not be nice to Tony, though, if we don't want, because he can't kick us off this system. Just kidding, Tony. You know I love you. Speaking of Tony, he's going to be indeed our guest speaker next week, September 24th. DK3JED will be telling us everything we need to know about IRLP, and I've heard... a presentation similar to this given by Tony recently on another server. I believe it was on the Missouri conference server, and it was most interesting, and you guys will be surprised at how accessible it is. So I invite everyone to come in huge, huge numbers. Tonight we had a grand total, from what I could tell, of 42 connected stations, so a huge success. Again, thanks to everyone for being here. And with that, I will officially close the net at a, 22:14 p.m. here in Montreal. My name is Pete. I've been your net control, Victor Echo 2 X-ray Papa Lima, officially closing the South Cars TNT Open Forum, and I'd like to thank everyone for being here. And I'll be sticking around. Where's my Zulu? Let's see, it is presently 2:13 Zulu, and I'm not really that smart. I just have two clocks in the shack here, one that tells me my local time and one that tells me the UTC, so I'm never at a loss. So thanks a lot, everybody, for being here, and we'll catch you all throughout the week and on the different nets, and next week for another South Cars TNT with Tony VK3JB. Good night, everyone. 73s to everybody from Montreal. Oh, yeah, I almost forgot. I forgot about the proverbial cow is coming home. I know the cow was a big hit last week, so there you go. Here's VE2XPL. I'll be standing by. The net is now officially closed.